Thank you, musicians. It's good. I'm going to be talking for a little bit, and then I'll read. Bless you. I want to mention to us tonight, as my faithful Wednesday night goers, in the month of April, this is March. It's the month of April. Before I touch on that, Brother Sapp made an announcement about helping Brother Bates move tomorrow. That's going to be at 2 p.m. So if you work early and get off around noon or 1, or if you don't go to work till 4 or 5 in the afternoon, please see Brother Sapp. You know, if we get 10 or 15 of us, we'll have him moved in, and Sister Bates can move the couch 5 different times, you know, a little to the right, a little to the left, no, this side, that side, and we'll still get all done in an hour if there's enough of us. So if you're able to help, let's go help our brother and sister in the Lord. She's carrying a miracle baby. She's not supposed to be pregnant. I told her that would never happen, and now she's just a few months away from giving birth. Isn't that awesome? Birth. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Amen. So in April, this Sunday out in the vestibule, starting this coming Sunday, there is going to be a prayer sheet. And we are going to have 21 days of 24-hour prayer. And I don't know whether he's dividing it up in 30-minute segments or one-hour segments. I'm not sure. But Brother Corinthian will have that paper out there, and we want to fill in every slot. And so if you get up at 3 a.m. in the morning to go to work, and it's 30-minute slots, get up at 2:30 and take that 2:30 slot, because nobody else is going to want to take that slot. So try to make it as convenient as possible. And you say, well, why do you say that, Pastor? Because we want to remain consistent. Right? And it's our nature. If every day we're doing something that goes against us or it's very difficult, we may miss out on a few. So make it as convenient as possible. As convenient as a 1:30 in the morning prayer time or 4 o'clock in the morning prayer time will be. So those of you who can take the mornings, please take them. Let's fill every slot in, and we'll announce this on Sunday as well. Now, during the same time, we're going to be doing our annual fast as a church. And so it's going to be 30 days where it's just going to be one meal. You can choose your meal. If for medical reasons you need to eat something throughout today, you know that we teach wisdom, right? So we use wisdom when we fast. And one of the things that we do is drink a lot of, not Coke, but right, one meal a day. You can choose whichever meal that you like the best. If your job is a very difficult, strenuous job, then you can work that out with the Lord. Okay? We're going to do that. During the same 30-day period, everybody say no media. So we're trying to give our youngins plenty of time to text all their friends around the world. You know, the people they call friends that they've never seen, met, but they play some kind of crazy game. I got to hurry up. I gotta go play this game because my friend's going to be on. Who's that? I don't know. He's some guy in China, but he's my friend. Anyhow, so there'll be no communicating with out-of-town boyfriends and girlfriends. So, Sister Samantha, be sure and get all your talking in before then. She's engaged. Will you be married by then? Oh, well, there you have it. You'll be married by then. See, that would have been a great excuse, though, not to, you know, have to call him. But there you have it. So, no media. Everybody say no media. No television. No entertainment of any form or fashion. If you're going to listen to music, it's got to be gospel. And I should say old time gospel, but I can't make everybody do that, I guess. But some of this music gospel music going on today. I just don't know about it. We don't sing enough of the old time songs around here anymore. We need to get that going. And Jesse's working on that, by the way. He's working on that. He's trying to learn a couple of weeks or a month or a year. I don't know. He's learning a couple of something. And we're going to get him up here in Jesus' name. Amen. Get Brother Sapp up here to pull him out or some others. We love it. Love it. I love it. I love it. All right. So it's going to be 30 days of fasting, 21 days of 24-hour prayer, 30 days no media. And we're going to fill that time up with the Word of God. We're going to fill it up with prayer. So we don't just sit around and twiddle our thumbs. We focus on the reading of the Word of God, and we focus on prayer, cleansing our minds. Everybody say, cleansing our minds. The Word of the Lord says washing, right? Washing our spirits and our minds with the Word of God. And this is always a great blessing to this church. It helps us. It strengthens us. It refocuses us as a church. And a lot of people during this time, it happens every year, they get rid of different types of media and entertainment, because after that month, other things start filling that gap. Maybe it's outreach or home Bible study or whatever it may be, something in Christ. And you're like, how did I ever find the time to do these other things when all these things need to be done for the kingdom of God? And I pray that this is what happens. Now, during this same time, we are going to be having about a 2.5 week outreach revival. And Brother O'Rourke's going to be coming. He's going to preach on Wednesday night to us. And then on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, he's going to be getting with all of our outreach people, working with Sister Howell and some others that we're going to be speaking with. And then all the people that work with them and organizing, going out into the city, into communities that we can get into, and reaching for the lost. And then building up for a big Sunday to pray 15, 20, 30 people through to the Holy Ghost, see people healed of diseases and of afflictions, and to see people set free from bondages, marriages healed, and the list just goes on and on. God wants to do great and incredible things, and he certainly does. And we're going to do that for 2 weeks in a row, preach on a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, outreach, preach on a Sunday, and then the same the following week. Also, this Easter, this year, we're not having a drama this year. Easter is going to be an outreach. It is going to be evangelistic. And so invite everyone that you can. Our record is 1,024 people. What do you say we break that record? I think we can do it. We can break it in Jesus' name. Invite your neighbors, your friends, your co-workers, and we're going to see an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. I'd like to baptize 50 people on Easter in Jesus' name. Wouldn't that be awesome? That'd be awesome. I want to tell you, there is nothing like truth. There is nothing like living for God in truth and serving him in truth. It's not about religion. It is about experience. It is about walking with Christ in experience, in his spirit, in his word. And so we just want to see, begin to work towards all this in prayer and fasting. So Pastor is just kind of laying this out to you tonight so that you can get it in your noggin. And then on Sunday, sign up on the prayer sheet, and we'll be talking about this as we go. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's stand for the reading of the word. I have a few verses here. I'm going to do a little bit of a review tonight because we took a couple of weeks off we preached for about 2 months on Satan's limitations in my life. And he does not control me. He has no rule over me. He has no rule over my family or over my children. He cannot make me do anything. He has no access to my mind like many people teach and even religions teach, but not the Word of God. My mind is covered with the blood of Jesus Christ. He has no access to my mind. He has no access to my heart. None. And that doesn't mean that I can't voluntarily allow things to come into my life. I certainly can. But what a revelation, what a freedom, what a liberty that has come into our lives since we have studied this over the last 2 months. I have mentioned this before. There's been people come up to me and said, where'd the devil go? Because what you thought was the devil was really just you. Your own imagination, your own lust and entice, right? Satan can't tempt you with anything that's not already in your heart. That's the word of God. We're drawn away with our own lust and entice. And when we own up to our own decisions and our own thoughts and our own actions. We own up to it. We take ownership of it. Then we have power over it. But as long as we just sort of cast it off, you're just going to repeat that failure over and over and over and over. But when you say, hey, buddy, it's me, and I need to fix this. Let us come out from among them. Let us cleanse ourselves. Let us, the Bible says, over and over and over, let us. I have full control of my vessel, my mind, and my thoughts. I bring them into captivity unto Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to launch, because you might say, well, you know, if the devil don't control all these things, who do we fight? You fight the devil. There is spiritual warfare. However, when we are able to understand, the problem with most of us is we haven't been fighting the devil. We've been fighting ourselves. And we just think we've been fighting the devil. Got victory over the devil this week. No, you got victory over yourself that week. But you failed the next week because you thought, you didn't think it was you, and you surprised yourself, and it was you, and it came right back up again. But when you realize and you take control of that, so what do we, spiritual warfare, when you understand, when we get the understanding of what spiritual warfare is about, that's when we're going to start seeing things happen in our families. We're going to see siblings and loved ones be set free and delivered, because our focus of prayer is now going to be directed where it's supposed to be directed. And we're going to tear down the strongholds of the devil that are in this world and that are working continuously and operating. And our families need us to understand what spiritual warfare is so that we can go to war spiritually. Amen. Amen. All right. I know I've had you standing. I'm so sorry. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery, the deceptions of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Why take to you the whole armor of God? That you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, and with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Everybody say, spiritual warfare is real. Look at your neighbor and tell him, it's time to go to war. And I'm going to tell you, if you're going to go to war, you better know who your enemy is, or you just might kill your ally. So we're going to find out who the enemy is. We're going to go to war against that enemy. And we're going to have revival in our families and amongst our loved ones and our job place and our neighborhoods like you have never seen in all of your spiritual walk with God. Because we're about to start fighting the devil instead of one another or instead of ourselves. Somebody shout hallelujah. Father, we need you to open up our minds tonight. Touch our hearts and our spirits. Let us hear and receive the word of God. I pray, Lord, that revelation comes to each and every one of us. God, turn us into mighty weapons of the Spirit. Oh, Father, let it so be that Satan and all of his demons tremble when our eyes are awakened in the morning. When we arise up off our bed, it's a great army of the living God arising to battle. Oh, God, help us to recognize the enemy of our souls and the enemy of our loved ones and the enemy of humanity. And when we recognize him, help us, God, to go to war in the spirit and in truth. We pray it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. One more time with victory, will you clap your hands to the Lord? God. And the Bible says, shout unto the Lord with the voice of triumph. Somebody give a shout of victory tonight. Come on. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We glorify your name, Jesus. We lift up the mighty name of the Lord, the name that is above every name in heaven, every name on earth, every name beneath the earth, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. Woo, hallelujah. Every demon in hell trembles because there's only one God. We love you, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify you. You are glorious. You are glorious. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Now, I probably will not get to my text tonight. It is already 7:50. But if you'll let Pastor, I just kind of want to catch us up a little bit. And then we'll launch this thing on Sunday morning. Is that all right? You're not going to fall asleep on me, are you? Because I know it's old stuff, and we've preached it for a couple of months. But I think it was Paul the Apostle that said, he said, I know you know this, but I need to remind you because you're not living it. I know you know it, but somebody needs to remind you about it because you're not living it. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to live it. Tell them, don't be live it, but live it. All right. So what did we learn? We started studying something that has helped us so tremendously. I know it's helped me, it's Pastor. It has liberated me. And when I used to get maybe a little angry because things weren't, you know, going right. That's every day. But when things are going less right than usual, out of order, a little chaotic, whatever. Pastor is irritated easily. I know y'all have never seen that, ever, irritation, unless you've been around me a few minutes. And I can get irritated. And sometimes when I get irritated, everybody gets quiet and they leave me alone and they all go in their corner and hide till I can calm down. And I used to, and I'd get irritated and try to fix things, and then I'd say, that devil, I let him do that to me again, that devil. And then one day I realized it was that Dan, that's me, that's my name, that Dan, I let him do that to me again. And when I realized that it wasn't the devil at all, Sister Carlene Gray, it wasn't the devil, it was just me. Full of pride and full of, oh, I don't know, everything else that I'm full of. My daddy raised me telling me that almost every day of my life, a lot of things that I was full of. And so the Lord begins to reveal this stuff to us. And now we're able to almost just instantly bring it back under control and say, no, this isn't right. This is me. And I'm not going to let it happen. And friend, listen, when you quit blaming things on the devil and you realize that your evil imagination is your evil imagination and that your lust and your desires and your wants and your ungodliness and everything that goes along with it, that it is you. It's in you. It's already a part of you. It didn't come from the outside. The devil didn't put it in you. You were born with it. And then according to how you filled your brain and your mind and your heart through days and times and years, and that's why it's be careful, little eyes, what you see. I'm on the right key there. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Huh? Careful, little feet, where you go. I know that's not right, but be careful, little hands, what you hold. Now, that was super cool right there. That rhymed with go, hold. That was awesome. That all matters. Because we're putting stuff in our head and in our heart and in our minds, and our brains is assimilating that. And this old fallen, decrepit flesh, it lives on it and feeds on it. And then we are created in the image of God. That means we have the power and the ability to create ourselves. We are the only creature in the living universe that can take this and this and create something out of it that did not exist before. And so in your own mind and in your own spirit, you're able to create imaginations and create thoughts and all kinds of things. It's a world that we live in. But the day we understand that, the day that I take ownership of my own faults and failures and sins that are in my life is the day that I start getting victory over this flesh. Amen. Is Pastor the only one that's benefited from the last couple of months? I hope there's others out. I know there is. You've come to me and you've talked to me about how you've been set free and your mind's no longer plagued and your spirit's no longer troubled because it's you. You know it's you and you can fix you with the help of God. We preached on that as well. So we talked about Satan. We talked about the Old Testament presence of Satan. We talked about the power, shining light of Christ when he came to this world. And it seemed like under every rock there was a demon. And the Lord, our Lord and Savior, was casting devils out left and right everywhere that he went. And then the church was established and the Holy Ghost was poured out. And not only on the day of Pentecost, but then 5,000, then thousands more. And before you knew it, it had covered their known world. And now today, they estimate over 1 billion people have been filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. all over this world, in the darkest areas that where you think that, oh, God is not there. It's anti-God. It's they serve other types of gods, other names, gods of other names. And you say, well, there's no churches there. I'm here to tell you there are churches there. God has people all over this world. I remember when my wife and I went to Hong Kong a while back. And then we crossed over into China, where preaching the gospel, of course, is illegal. And they snuck us into this upper-level room, and over a period of a couple of hours, people would gather in because they couldn't come together because it's against the law to have a crowd of any kind whatsoever. And so they would all come about 10 or 15 minutes apart until finally there was about 20 or 30 people in there, 20 of them having never even heard of the name of Jesus or felt the power of God. It's a very unusual circumstance to minister in, but we got up and taught a little simple message about the love of God and how that God wants to put his spirit inside of your life and fill you with his power. We had them stand up and pray. They said, lift up your hands, and they lift them up, and their eyes are open. Close your eyes, so it's just you, and you can't say pray. They don't know what prayer is, and so you say, well, repeat after me, and we repeat a message, and then you begin to feel something move in that room. And the same God that we feel in America everywhere as we go, he stepped into that room because his word was preached. He broke every yoke from the power of hell, and with the word of God we broke the binds upon the minds of people, and we saw three people receive the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost in that room. I'm telling you, God is everywhere. He's in the darkest corners of the darkest place of the darkest hour of this world. And as long as the church is in this world, the devil is being held back. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I know he works. I know he does things. I know he's evil. That's the reason why we're going to have spiritual warfare. But he's not doing near what he could do. The Bible tells us when the church is taken out, then the whole world is going to be deceived. But as long as you and I are here, we are binding him. We're breaking into the strong man's house, and we're binding him in the name of Jesus. Why? Because we have power over all the power of the enemy. That's the revelation we have. We do not have to fear him. If you're going to fear anybody, fear God.
He's powerful. And then we looked at the parable in Mark about the sowing of the seed and how powerful the word of God is. Remember that once that little seed busted open in the first part of that parable and took any kind of root at all. The only time the devil's mentioned in that parable is in the very beginning when the seed was sowed by the wayside and the fowls of the air came and they grabbed that seed before it ever sprouted any kind of root at all. The seed was the word of God, but it had not sprouted any root, and the fowls of the air came and took it away. And Jesus said, the fowls of the air, that's Satan. He comes quickly. Everybody say quickly. He knows he's got to get there quick to get that word, because if that word sprouts even just a little bit, he has no power over the word. And after that, now it's just you and God. It's not Satan. It's whether you're going to make up your mind that you're going to live for God or not. It's whether we're going to make up our mind that we're going to walk in righteousness or not. It's up to me and you. Satan has no power over me, and he has no power over you.
He's a manipulator, and he is a manipulator, and he is a liar. And that is how he controls humanity today. But he cannot make you do anything. If he could, we would all be dead. He can't even make a sinner do anything. And we learned that, didn't we? Here was a man. What did he have? He had a legion, anywhere from 2,000 to 12,000 demons in him. And I know that I'm preaching against the common theology of the world today, but they're wrong and I'm right. And the reason I'm right is I have Bible and they don't. They've just got a bunch of made up stuff. Tradition of religion and convenience of excuse
of why I do the things I do. It's so convenient to blame the devil, isn't it? But he's not at fault. Possessed with 6,000 to 2,000 to 12,000 demons, we don't know. And when the man saw Jesus, he ran and fell at the feet of Jesus Christ. 12,000 demons could not stop him from falling and worshiping his Lord. Don't tell me the devil can make you... No. In fact, the Bible is just the opposite. It's God that makes the devil do whatever he so desires for him to do. Quit letting the devil convince you he's got control of you. He don't have control of you. You've got control of him. Lust and sin and other spiritual afflictions of all types lets us know in the Word of God they are not works of the devil. They are works of the flesh. Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, and I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. God would be unjust if these people did not have power over their actions to send them to hell for something they could not help. But the point is, they can. You commit adultery, it is a choice. You commit fornication, it is a choice. If you do these things, it is a choice. If you live in immorality and lasciviousness, if you look at pornography, if you listen to ungodly music, if you do any of these things, they are choices that you make. They are drawn from the lust that is already born in you. And when you come to that revelation and take a stand, I'm here to tell you, you have power. You have power over everything that's inside of you that's not righteous. You do have power over it. If you will exercise that, we have power over it. James said, let no man say when I am tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted him any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death, the Bible says. And then James goes on to say, do not err, my beloved brethren. Don't make the mistake to think that your sins are not your own. And I'm going to tell one of the greatest revelations that does come is that when you realize that these things are in me, then you come to that revelation that I am not as great as I thought I was. That there is a lot of junk in me. And then the revelation comes of how much, Jim, that we need God, doesn't it? I gotta have God. And the only way to get this stuff out of me is through the Word of God. The Bible says the Word of God washes us. And when we fill our eyes and our hearts and our minds with the Word of God, it washes this stuff out of us. Yes, the old man gets up. That's why Paul the Apostle said, I crucify the flesh every day. He understood the power of his flesh. Paul the Apostle was more worried about his own flesh than he ever was about the devil. When you read the writings of Paul the Apostle, who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he is always talking about our carnality, our weaknesses, our flesh. When it came to the devil, the only thing he does with the devil is this: put on the helmet of salvation, put on the armor of God, and go out and destroy him. Take power over him and authority over him. James said it this way. He said, don't worry about the devil. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. James says, I'll tell you who you need to worry about. You need to worry about you. I need to worry about me, my lust, my want, my greed, my anger, my self-righteousness, my pride, my ego. It's not the devil's. It's mine. I own it. I conjure it up. I feed it.
I dwell on it and it becomes powerful in me. But the moment I rebuke it and bind it, and I don't mean in a spiritual way, but I mean in a physical way, and walk away from it and say to myself, I will not, instantly comes a liberty and a freedom to my mind and my spirit when I realize I indeed have power over the carnality of my flesh. When we're always blaming the adversary, it's excuses. Continue. Then we talked about the mind. We found out, and we look into the word of the Lord, Romans 7 and 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh. Say, for I know that, say, in me. Say, that is in my. Dwells what? For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. Everybody say mind. They didn't get it up there. Verse 23. But I see another law in my members. Now he already talked about what it was. His flesh. Another law in my members, warring against the law of my. You see, honey, it's not the devil putting all that stuff in your mind. It's your own flesh, your own will, your own desire, your own wants. That's what wars against our mind. And when we understand that, then we can take, the Bible says, every thought into captivity unto subjection of Jesus Christ. And if we didn't have the power to do that, the Bible would not have commanded us to do it. I am so thankful I have this revelation. And when those thoughts come into my mind, no, you're not staying. There's no place here for you. You've got to go. And instantly now they go. Because now I know it's me. And not my buddy, the devil. Because y'all hang, the way we used to walk with this thing, we hung around the devil a whole lot more than we hung around God. You know, we don't walk around saying, God made me do it. God keeps doing this to me. God made me be righteous again today. God made me do that good deed. God make me think that good thought and say that good word. God made me forget. No, we don't do that. We walk around all day blaming the devil for everything. He's our best buddy. He's our excuse for everything we do. But he's not anymore, is he? Romans 12 and 2. And be not conformed to this world. How do you become unconformed to this world? But be you transformed. How? By the renewing of your what? Of your mind, that you may prove I'm reading this wrong, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Do you know the Bible tells us, lets us know that the only one that has the power to actually influence your mind is God. God created Pharaoh, grew him up, took Moses, threw him into Egypt, pulled him out, comes back to deliver. And the Bible says that the plagues come against Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was thinking about letting the children of Israel go. And the word of the Lord says God hardened his heart. God stepped in and changed his mind. Because he's the only one that has the power to do it. You say, well, that was mean of God. Hey, God created him. He belongs to God. God can do anything he wants with him. He can do anything he wants with you. He's God. He's the only one that influences our mind. Psalms 139 and 2. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off, David said. No matter how far away, you know my thoughts. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there's many other scriptures, but those are the only two I pulled out in for the review. And so what happens? We learn all this stuff. And I said this already, but I just thought it was kind of funny because I had already felt the same way. And somebody came up to me and they said, "Brother Kyle, since we've been learning this and this revelation's been coming and I've got victory over all these areas in my life, they don't even bother me anymore. My mind is focused and these temptations I used to always have that I blamed them, the devil, they're gone." He said, "I'm walking around," he said, "to be honest," and I've had more than one come to me and kind of say the same words, just slightly different. And he said, "I'm kind of scared because I'm like wondering where the devil is. Like, where'd he go? Because every day I was fighting him and fighting him and fighting him in my mind and my spirit and the lust. And I was tempted with this and tempted with that and thought on this and thought on that. And I just fought the devil all day. And I would just pray and battle that old devil. And I'd just speak against him. But I tell you what happened. They got a revelation. It never was the devil." And when you got that revelation and you understood that it was you, and you brought it under control, and now you're walking in victory, and you're walking in liberty, and these things don't even bother you anymore. And you're like, "Where's the devil?" And some of you, you're having withdrawals. You lost your sparring partner. You're like, you're so used to, Paul the Apostle, I think it was, it said, you were so used to beating the air, you thought you were hitting the devil, you're just beating the air. That's all you was doing. You're just beating the air. And now you're walking around and you're kind of lonely and you kind of miss it. You don't know what to do with yourself. And so that's why we're going to learn about spiritual warfare. Because there is a devil. And he is real. And he is manipulative. And he is a liar and a deceiver. And he is very tricky. And he works in this world. And he does have power, prince and power of the air, the Bible says. And he works amongst governments and amongst men and manipulating and lying and cheating. And how does he do that? He takes advantage of their flesh, just like he took advantage of your flesh until you got revelation and realized it wasn't the devil making you do it. It was you choosing to do it. And you just simply stopped. And then the moment that happened, you would have think he would have just jumped in there and made you do something else. But see, that's when you realize he had no power over you. Not some power. No power. Everybody say none. Now that's kind of tough because some of y'all got angry today. And I'm here to tell you, you got angry. Some of y'all are upset about some things right now. And I'm here to tell you that you have the problem. And you have to fix that problem. Some of y'all got hurt by somebody, and you over there sucking your thumb, all hurt feelings and upset and all this thing. And that's your problem. You're doing that because you're full of pride. And you want people to feel sorry for you. And you're just the poor old me, the little old victim. Why don't you just get up and say, "You know what? I'm not going to feel that way. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to love that person. I don't care what they do to me." That's all you have to do. Is just tell yourself and make up your mind. As a man thinketh, so is. It's the word of God. All right. A couple of more minutes. Like I said, I knew I would not get to my text. But I will Sunday. I will not review Sunday. So come to church Sunday. It's going to be brand new territory. Hebrews 4 and 12 says, oh, we done read that. And so we spent our entire lives fighting what we thought was the devil. And then the great revelation comes and we understand that it's not Satan. It's our own lust, our own thoughts. And it's then that we become liberated. We finally get the victory over all of these things that we have been battling for a very long time. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10 says, "Finally, my brothers, You'd have to go back to the beginning, Sister Dawn. Finally, my brothers, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Do you now? Here is where we're just going to just barely scratch spiritual warfare. Because if we don't get a hold of this, then you are not going to do any damage to the kingdom of Satan at all. When the word of the Lord says, be strong, that word there means intoxicated. It wasn't even really talking about physical strength. It's the word referencing strong drink. It's one word here. It means to be intoxicated. Paul the Apostle said, you need to get intoxicated with God. You need to have so much of Him in you that He influences everything you do. You know, people say, well, I can drink 3 beers and still drive. And so they'll go do a reflex test. Is that what it's called? Reflex? Yeah, reflex test. And then they'll find out that actually they're not near as responsive. And actually, they've actually convinced themselves they're even more responsive. Quicker, better, faster. Because they're so numb, right? So why won't they let you drive drunk? Why will they not let you drive while you're intoxicated? Because when you're intoxicated, it affects everything about you. Your thinking, your emotions, your attitude, your character. Come on, come on. You've seen it. You've seen it. You've seen it. The quietest person on the dance floor gets a few beers, and they're on the table. You know what I'm talking about. What happened? They got intoxicated. And that intoxication took away all of their inhibitions. Took away all their fears. Took away all their doubts. As far as they're concerned, they're the best dancer in the house. Y'all laughing like some of y'all been on that table. And that's what Paul the Apostle's saying. You need to get in. Intoxicated with God. And when you get intoxicated with God, He will take away all your fears. He'll take away all your doubts. And places you wouldn't go, you'll go. Words you would have never said, you'll say. Things you would have never done, you'll do. When you get intoxicated with God, it influences your emotions. Things that people used to say that offended you, it don't offend you anymore. It's just like water going off a duck's back. Don't even bother you anymore. Things that people used to do that used to hurt your feelings, you don't even have feelings anymore. You're just intoxicated with God. You just love everybody everywhere as you go. You're not judging anybody. You lose all of your judgment. You're not seeing this one over here and going, oh, well, they don't want God, and they do, and look at him, and look at her, and her, and her, and him. No, you lose all of that. You just love everybody. You're intoxicated with God. Now, all of a sudden, it's not your fruit. It's the fruit of the Spirit that's coming out of you. It's the characteristics of God that is coming out of you. It is the attributes of love that the Bible describes in the book of Corinthians that begins to flow out of you. And Paul said, if you're going to go into spiritual warfare, the first thing you need to do is get drunk. And you need to get drunk on the Spirit. And you need to become intoxicated with God. I put a little note in here, and I'm closing. I put a little note in here. I said, too many of us are social drinkers when it comes to God. We're not alcoholics. We're just social drinkers. We drink on Sunday morning. We drink a little on Wednesday night. But we don't touch the stuff during the week. Oh, no, 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 no. We got too much of everything else going on. No, we don't pick up the word. We don't pray. We don't get in the spirit. And I know pastors whipping Wednesday night crowd, but that's who you whoop. We get in shape. We'll kind of rub off on everybody. We're just social drinkers. Come to the house of God and just laugh at one another. Take a little drink of Jesus. Oh, this feels so good. And we get in our car and we drive home, and we might even talk in tongues for a block or two. But that intoxication wears off fast, doesn't it? And somebody cuts right in front of you at the red light. You know what you need? You need another drink. Because it done wore off. We need to become intoxicated with Jesus Christ. That means when I get up in the morning, I got to have a drink. I'm addicted. It's what the Bible says, right? It's what Paul said, addicted to the work of Christ. I can't remember exactly where that's at, but it's in one of his writings. He talks about these servants of the Lord, these workers of the Lord, and he says they were addicted to Christ. Addicted. What do? You get up in the morning, you got to have a drink. You go a little ways and you sit down and you fix your eggs, and instead of reaching out for your coffee, you reach out for your beer. You reach out for your hard liquor. Why? You're an alcoholic. You stay intoxicated. You find out ways to hide it so you can bring it to the job. You want it so bad that you take things to cover your breath so nobody will smell it, because you just got to kind of keep drinking it. You hide it in your locker so as soon as you're done at work, you can take it out of the locker and get a drink. You hide it in your canteen so when you go to lunch, you can take a drink. Why? Because you're an alcoholic. You're addicted. You hide it everywhere you can. It's in the glove compartment of your car. It's everywhere you go. Everything that you do, every part of your life, it's there because you are addicted. You are an alcoholic, and you have got to have it. And Paul the Apostle said, this is how we must come when it comes to Jesus Christ. If you're going to go into spiritual warfare. And why is that? Because you never know when the devil's going to show up. You never know when the power of prayer is going to be needed. You never know when you're going to have to release that authority that you have, that we're going to teach on here in the next few days. But that authority of the power of the word and your voice, when you open up your mouth from that God that dwells on the inside of you. He said, when you open up your mouth, it will not be you speaking. It will be the power of the Holy Ghost. But not if we're not intoxicated. So you see, this is what has to change if we're going to go into spiritual warfare. We can't just drink on Sunday mornings. And we can't just drink on Wednesday nights. We have to figure out a way to sneak it into our canteens and bring it to the job. We got to figure out a way that it gets in our car. And the moment we get in the privacy of our car, we can push that button and the preaching comes on, or the word of God comes on, or some beautiful song comes on that is exalting the name of Jesus Christ. When we walk into our homes, it fills the atmosphere of our homes. Why? Because I cannot take too many steps without being influenced by His power and by His glory. I want to be intoxicated. And that's what he said in that verse. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Get drunk in Him. Because if you're going to go to war, you better be saturated with His glory. Let's stand. Praise the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for His word. His precious word. On Sunday, by the help of the Lord, we're going to start diving into spiritual warfare. We're going to lay some foundations. But I'm telling you, God is getting this church ready for some incredible things that are going to come. And when a church is where it's supposed to be, we're not worried about the devil. Someone comes in here possessed with a devil, we just say, in the name of Jesus, go, be out, gone, get out of here. And that devil has to leave. He can't play around. That's the power of God talking. And then the tough part comes. You got to deal with the flesh. That's the hard part. Got to deal with the flesh. Man. And that comes through teaching and you know, and learning. And I used to try to give you guys all kinds of excuses. And I'd preach on separation and coming out from among them and living a godly life. And I watched some of you shape up and some of you get worse. And then some shape up and fall back a little and go, oh, that old devil. But you know what? It's not that devil. It's your desires. It's what you want. It is this reveals this. Now that's the word of God. That's the word of God. We live in a rigid religious world today where they say this don't mean anything. This means everything. They say, well, God looks on the heart. Exactly. But man looks on the outside. Exactly. I've said it before. I'm not here to save God. He's already saved. I'm here to reach man. And if I'm going to reach man, something about me's got to change. They've got to be able. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says they will see your good works and magnify the Father. They know it's not you. They knew you. You're just a scoundrel. But look at you now. And they will glorify the Father. You say, well, it's by faith. Faith without works is dead. I'll have that argument with you all day. If you think you can be saved and live for God and not have put an effort of walking with him and living for him and changing your ways and fixing yourself up according to his word, you are fooling yourself. It is not the word of God. It is convenient religion. And it's why this world is being deceived. Because we want to be able to claim Christianity but live like the world. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. We have to let God change us. Lord, thank you for that phone call. Lord, thank you for your word. Your word is so good and rich. God, I'm asking you, Lord, to let these revelations go so deep inside of our hearts and inside of our minds that we walk in victory. I thank you for the victory in my life. I thank you, Lord, that depression has to flee. I thank you, God, that fear has to go. I thank you that doubts have to go because, Lord, I conjure them up in my own spirit. God, I'm just not going to let it be there. It's not going to happen. I'm too busy having spiritual warfare. I thank you for the power through the word of God. I thank you for the power through prayer. I thank you for the power through your spirit. I thank you, Lord, that you're able to penetrate my mind and get into my mind and into my thoughts and into my heart and into my spirit. And you're able to help me change and to do right and to go in the right direction. Thank you for writing your laws across my heart that I might understand them. And thank you, God, for putting within my spirit and all of us, God, the principles of the word of God, that we can walk in such a way in an ungodly world that we bring praise and glory to the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray, let this church rise up in victory over every sin. Let us rise up in victory over lasciviousness. Let us rise up in victory over all the works of the flesh by the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, to cast them off and cast them out, because we have power over it through your word and your name and your spirit, God. And we thank you for it, Lord. We glorify you for it. And God, walk with this church as we enter into spiritual warfare, and teach us and show us and train us and help us and prepare us and turn us into that mighty force that Palm Beach needs, that everywhere as we go, we take authority and command of the entire situation, of our area, of our territory, of everything that surrounds us us and is about us. We demand the attention because of the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ. Let every demon tremble, because here we come in the power of the name, in the power of the word, in the power of your spirit, in the power of war, putting on the armor of God in the wonderful, mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're ready to go to war, clap your hands to Jesus. Put those hands together. Come on, let the enemy hear it. Let the enemy hear it. Let there be victory in that hand clap. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Woo! Hallelujah! 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 I walk in victory. I walk in the spirit, that I fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I walk in the spirit that I fulfill not the lust of the flesh. Amen. You're the greatest people in the world. I love you. I appreciate you. Remember prayer in the morning at 6:30. You have the little prayer cards. And come online if you can. And let's join everybody in prayer at 6:30 to 7. God bless you. I love you. Be good to one another. Be kind to one another. Speak well of one another. For my men that can help at 2 o'clock tomorrow, please come see Brother Sapp. For my men that can help at 2 o'clock tomorrow, please come see Brother Sapp. For the ladies that can fix a meal for Sister Bates, please find my wife. I don't know where she's at, but find her. And Sister Kyle, are you in the house? Where's Mama? She's coming. The kids are coming around the bend.